Chapter 20. My eyes adjusted enough to make out some details. The demonic female with the Joan Jett hair, two sets of eyes, a glowing sigil, and vicious claws was the same Denarian who had attacked at the harbor that morning. The second demonic being was covered in dark gray scales, flecked with bits of rust red. From shoulders to waist, he looked more or less human. From the neck up and the waist down, he looked like some kind of flattened serpent. No legs. Coils slithered out behind him, scales rasping over the floor. He, too, had the double pair of eyes, one set golden and serpentine, the other, inside the first, glowing faintly blue-green, matching the pulsing symbol of the same light that seemed to dance in the gleam of the scales of the snake's head. One little, two little, three little Denarians, or so I judged the last of them. Of the three, he was the only one that looked human. He wore a tan trench coat, casually open. His clothes were tailor-fit to him and looked expensive. A slender gray tie hung loosely around his throat. He was a man of medium height and build, with short, dark hair streaked through with an off-center blaze of silver. His expression was mild, amused, and his dark eyes were half-closed and sleepy-looking. He spoke English with a faint British accent. "Well, well, what have we here? Our bold thief and her—" I got the impression that he would have been glad to begin one of those trademark bantering conversations all the urbane bad guys seem to be such big fans of. But before he could finish the sentence, Anna Valmont turned with her little pistol and shot him 3 times in the chest. I saw him jerk and twist. Blood abruptly stained his shirt and coat. She'd hit the heart or an artery. The man blinked and stared at Valmont in shock as more red spread over his shirt. He opened his coat a bit and looked down at the spreading scarlet. I noted that the tie he wore wasn't a tie as such. It looked like a piece of old gray rope, and though he wore it as apparent ornamentation, it was tied in a hangman's noose. "I do not appreciate being interrupted," the man said in a sharp and ugly tone. "I hadn't even gotten around to the introductions. There are proprieties to observe, young woman." A girl after my own heart, Anna Valmont, had a quick reply. She shot him some more. He wasn't 5 feet away. The blonde thief aimed for the center of mass and didn't miss him once. The man folded his arms as bullets hit him, tearing new wounds that bled freely. He rolled his eyes after the fourth shot and made a rolling, "move this along" gesture with his left hand until Valmont's gun clicked empty, the slide open. "Where was I?" he said.
"Proprieties," purred the feminine demon with the wild hair.
The word came out a little mangled due to the heavy canines that dimpled her lips as she spoke.
"Proprieties, father."
"There seems little point," the man said. "Thief, you have stolen something I have an interest in. Give it to me at once, and you are free to go your own way. Refuse me, and I will become annoyed with you." Anna Valmont's upper lip had beaded with sweat, and she looked from her empty gun to the man in the trench coat with wide, wild eyes, frozen in confusion and obvious terror. The gunshots would bring people running. I needed to buy a little time. I leaned up, fished a hand into Valmont's jacket pocket, and drew out a small box of black plastic that looked vaguely like a remote control to a VCR. I held up the transmitter, put my thumb on it as if I knew what I was doing, and said to the man in the trench coat, "Hey, Bogart, you and the Wonder Twins back off or the bedsheet gets it." The man lifted his eyebrows.
"Excuse me?"
I waggled the remote. Click, boom, no more shroud. The snake man hissed, body twisting in restless, lithe motion, and the demon girl parted her lips in a snarl. The man between them stared at me for a moment, his eyes flat and empty, before he said,
"You're bluffing."
"Like the bedsheet matters to me," I said. The man stared at me without moving, but his shadow did. It writhed and undulated, and the motion made me feel vaguely carsick.
His eyes went from me to Valmont to the courier's message tube on the floor.
A remote detonator, I take it. You do realize you are standing next to the device.
I realized it. I had no idea how big the incendiary was, but that was all right, since I had no idea which button to push to set it off, either.
Yep. You would kill yourself rather than surrender the shroud? Rather than letting you kill me?
Who said I would kill anyone?
I glared at him and at the demon girl and said, Francisca Garcia mentioned it.
The man's shadow boiled, but he watched me with flat, calculating eyes.
Perhaps we can reach an arrangement.
Which would be?
He drew a heavy-caliber handgun from his pocket and pointed it at Anna Valmont.
Give me the remote, and I won't kill this young woman.
The demon groupie headman uses a gun? You've got to be kidding me, I said.
Call me Nicodemus.
He glanced at the revolver.
Trendy, I know, but one can only watch so many dismemberments before they become predictable.
He pointed the gun at the terror-stricken Valmont and said,
Shall I count to three?
I threw on a puppet's Transylvanian accent.
Count as high as you want, but you won't get one. One detonator.
One, Nicodemus said.
Do you expect me to hand it over on reflex or something?
You've done such things repeatedly when there was a woman in danger, Harry Dresden.
Two.
This Nicodemus knew me. And he'd picked a pressure tactic that wasn't going to take long, however it turned out, so he knew I was stalling for time.
Crap.
I wasn't going to be able to bluff him. Hold on, I said. He thumbed back the hammer of the revolver and aimed at Valmont's head. So much for cleverness.
All right, I snapped, and I tossed the remote to him underhand. Here you go.
Nicodemus lowered the gun, turning to catch the remote in his left hand. I waited until his eyes flicked from Valmont to the remote. And then I pulled up every bit of power I could muster in that instant, hurled my right hand forward, and snarled,
Fuego!